I went through basic training in the military back in 1983. One of the requirements for completing the basic training was to go on a forced 10 or 11 forced march, 10 or 11 miles, as fast as we could go. We had somebody up front that was seasoned in this, and we were all youngsters and never had done something like this before. Actually, I shouldn't say I was a youngster, because I was 26 years of age at that point. Most of the other guys were youngsters. So they put us on this forced march, the backpack, some weight, water. But you couldn't stop. So you had to do everything in preparation. You had to go use the toilet. All those things you needed to get ready to make this, because if you dropped out, you didn't make it. So we're going to go on a speed march now. So prepare your mind. No, we'll call it a speed march. We're not going to call it a force march. So prepare your fingers. Stephanie, you're going to have to type like crazy. Get your fingers ready. Get them wet. Because we're going to see how much ground we can cover between now and Mike comes behind me and tells me I got to stop.
41 minutes.
Okay. We're going to see how far we can get. I'm going to put my sun hat on here. Keep the sun out of my eyes. Just to finish off that forced march, as we got about 5 miles into it, people started dropping out. They couldn't handle it, because you can imagine the strain on your joints, your hips, your legs. By the time you stop, you just wanted to drop, because you weren't used to doing that kind of distance. But I made it. In fact, I kept going up further and further back, up close to the guy that was heading up that whole march, and I finished with him. So I felt pretty nice about being able to do that. So I want you to feel pretty nice when you get finished with this, knowing that we've kept up, right? Okay. Turn to John 1. We're going to continue with the theme here of the manifold nature. How's it go, Mike? The manifold nature,
the manifold nature of the work of our Lord. Christ Jesus.
Okay, we're going to look at another facet of the manifold work. Manifold nature of the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Starting at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which shineth every man that cometh into the world. And we looked earlier about how in verse 10 he was in the world was made by him, the world knew him not, he came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But I want to go back in verse 9. He was the true light, that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. Christ came into the world to represent the Father, right? To show a world that was in utter darkness what God was like. Now, in one sense, each of us are doing the same thing. I'm not trying to say we're of the Godhead. I'm not trying to say that we're part of that nature. But in that sense that we have come through Jesus Christ, we now represent Christ, we now represent God. So we're going to keep that thought in mind as we go through here. Turn to Ruth chapter 1. Get a little exercise in finding books here. Ruth chapter 1 is at the beginning, close to Joshua judges Ruth. Page 361. So start our chapter 1, verse 8 through 18. We're going to look at how Christ gave up much to come into this world to be that light, and see how that thought comes through all of these different verses. Keep that in mind, how he gave up much to come here. Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 through 18. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them. They lifted up their voice and wept. They said unto her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." They lifted up their voice, wept, and said, again, Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. She said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Is that not what Christ did when he came to the earth? This is, "I'm going to follow your will. Whatever you want of me, I'm going to do down there. Whatever you don't tell me to do, I will do. Wherever you want me to go, I will go." Is that not what Christ did? Go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 21, the end of John. For Peter, you remember the account where Jesus Christ is talking with the disciples for the last time in the book of John, when they are out fishing. And there's a situation where Jesus Christ asked Peter to feed his sheep, feed his lambs, and feed his male sheep. John chapter 21. The first verse, on verse 15, excuse me, they're in that dialogue about feeding his lambs. Verse 16 has got, "Feed my sheep." Verse 17, "Feed my sheep." Now verse 18, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldst. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." Now, I know I'm taking this a little bit out of context, because it just said it's talking about how he's dying. But what this always reminds me of when I read this verse is what Christ is saying to him, "Look, you did what you wanted when you were young. You're now going to do what I want you to do." That's what that verse says to me about Peter and the relationship Christ had. You did what you wanted to. That's done. You now do what I want you to do. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Starting in verse 7. is the, hold on a second, where is the location, because I can't think of it right now, where it said that Christ emptied himself? Philippians 2? There's a verse, something about how he emptied himself. 2:8. But is there not a verse that talks about how he emptied himself? You think that's what it is? Verse 17. Anyway, back to Philippians chapter 3. What's that? Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. For what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now we all know what the English word dung in verse 8 means. I know I don't have to explain that to you, but none of us can imagine sitting here today can feel what that must have meant to him. Right? Having been a Pharisee of Pharisees and have looked at that and said, this is nothing compared to what I now have through Christ. But the point that I'm trying to make in these verses is that he counted it lost. He no longer looked at his life as his own. He no longer looked at his mission in life as something he decided. Okay? We're going to go to Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, to see the item that changed his life. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord said unto him. Now, if we could in any way try to imagine putting ourselves in that position that he was in, would we have done what he did and said, what he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was an enemy of Christ up to that point, not knowing he was. But to have a heart like he had, to call him Lord immediately, and to say, what do you want me to do? Could we have done that? I hope we could. Where is the reference regarding all the persecutions that Paul went through, all the sufferings, the shipwrecks? Where? 2 Corinthians? Who gets there first gets to read it. 2 Corinthians... sufferings that he went through.
That's actually
11:23. 11:23. There you go, Ronnie. Go ahead.
He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths all of the Jews 5 times, received I 40 stripes, saved one, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, and night and a day I've been deep in journeyings, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, perils by the countrymen, perils by the heathen, in perils in the sea, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting often, and cold and nakedness. Besides those things, or without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not?
Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That was on the road to Damascus, right? That's
well,
what he's...
He told him that on that. He said, I'll show him what things he's going to have to suffer
okay.
For my
name. Gotcha. Gotcha. Yes. Could we have stood up to that, knowing ahead of time?
That's hard to say. It's one of those things you always have to be in before you know what you can do it. It's easy to say, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. He just didn't realize he's committed to the wrong thing at first. Right.
Didn't take a moment to come around and make sure that things change in your heart.
And it says that the church is going to see it doesn't affect what it's saying is that yet. He was one reason.
I don't know.
Because I'm thinking that if he had those doubts that said, like, I don't know if he's going to be like, he knew all of his questions, then when he came, it's like, oh, what an answer, wow. Or, you know, then I could understand the
turnaround.
And also the sufferings too, because sometimes you look, I just can't imagine
Right, I remember sitting in a teaching where the preacher was talking about when Saul, it's when Saul was holding the cloaks at Stephen's stoning, how that must have affected his heart to witness that as a young man, young Pharisee. So that may be along the lines of what you're talking about.
Or
Yeah, so it'll be interesting someday to see. As I say, I'd like to, when we get to the outer heavens, I hope God has a large living room set up so the body of Christ can sit down and watch all the ages unfold through a video presentation. And we can eat popcorn with butter and eat all the, and we won't have to worry about calories or weight. That's what I'm looking forward to. I think that point in Revelation that the things of the past may not be known, but I would be interested in watching his unfoldment of what he did and how we took part in it. I'd like to see that. Right. I'm really not interested in seeing what I went through because I know already. All right. Are you rested up here? Are you ready to go again? Okay. We looked at Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Now go to Philippians chapter 2. We took a breather there for a second. Philippians chapter 2. I think we were in there looking earlier with verse 7, so we're going to go over. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, obviously, we don't have to deal with what he went through, meaning that he was obedient even unto death, at the cross. Obviously, we don't have to go through the sufferings that Paul went through, and yet they're both examples to us, right? They're both examples to us of what... I'm getting signals for something here. What's 129. Oh, having the same conflict which he saw in me? Now, okay. Yes. Just a few verses up. For unto you it is given, in behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. That's very good. That's a good lead into it. You must have been thinking of what I was going to next. Were you?
I
don't know. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. See if I can get all these thoughts here together in this one spot here about this example. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24. No, that's not the one. Maybe it's Hebrews 12. Yeah, it's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing ye also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Dad, weren't you talking about this last night? The joy that was set before him? Or was that you, Jack? Who was talking about that? You were. If I had some chocolate, I'd give it to you. I'm all out. I'm empty.
Airborne.
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. ye that have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The point here is that for the joy that was set before him, how many of you, and I forget if I talked with you about this last time, how many of you went to the movie The Passion of Christ? Bernice, Helen, Valerie? Okay, so some of you know what I'm going to talk about then. Do you remember the scene when they finally have him on the hill and they're getting the cross repaired? Do you remember what he did at that point? They had whipped him. He was laying on, I think it was on his back, on the hill. They had got the cross prepared for him. Do you remember what he did at that point? I'll never forget. It's the most, not that I agree with the movie, but that one point I came up with where the movie impressed me. Well, before that, Bob.
That really impressed me.
Was it? What happened is that they had whipped him, taken his clothes off. He was utterly exhausted. All by himself, he got up on his hands and knees and crawled over to the cross and got onto it. And I thought to myself, this verse right at that point, for the joy, he himself. Now, I don't know if this happened in reality. We don't know. Someday we may. Yeah. He, in the movie, he crawled over to that cross and laid down, and the soldiers just stood around and didn't know what to do in the movie. And that impressed me because I thought, for the joy that was set before him, that impressed me from that movie. Okay, we got Hebrews chapter 12. What is 2 Timothy chapter 2? Let me look here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Yes. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 to 15. Who's got 2 Timothy? No. Who's the gentleman that's teaching on 2 Timothy? I'm not stealing from you, Bob. Okay, all right.
Mike would be there if you meant.
I'm just borrowing just a few verses here.
Okay? No, I borrow.
Please.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 to 15. Wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. And then the famous verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But back up to verse 11 and 12. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. That's what Christ did. He suffered what he was allotted to do. His allotment, his predestination, was to suffer in the manner that he did. What God has for us, we don't know. You personally have some idea. But we each have our own little walk of suffering.
Yes.
I'm going to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Jack, I'm not. I'm just borrowing a few verses from you, too. He's waving me on. That's good permission to use them, right? I don't think you're ever going to get this far, right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through 27, dealing with Moses. Verse 24, Hebrews 11, verse 24 through 27. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, there you go, Bob, as seeing him who was invisible. Now, doesn't that sound familiar with the verses in, where was it? Philippians, where it talked about how Paul considered everything dung, he esteemed. Yes, doesn't it sound familiar? I didn't look at your Bible last night. You're on the first floor, so I didn't. Doesn't that sound familiar? Now, along this line, we're talking about how Christ, the verse where it said Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, okay? To complete that thought, go to Matthew chapter 26, and then we'll move on to the next leg of this race. Matthew 26. We're in the Garden of Gethsemane. A few last minutes before Christ is turned over to the authorities. Chapter 26, starting in verse 37. Actually, all the Gospels have this account except John. I was surprised. For some reason, I thought this was in the Gospel of John. But that's the book that has his prayer in chapter 17. Actually, all the Gospels have this, but this is most pronounced. Verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again a second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. He left them, and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh the disciples, and he tells them, Now the time is here. But the struggling, and I think it's Luke that talks about how he was sweat. The sweat was like drops of blood. Acts chapter 20. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Nobody's got this book, right? They're not teaching on Acts. Acts chapter 20. Starting in verse 19. Ronnie looked at this earlier. There we go. That's who was. Acts chapter 20. This is just a follow-up on what he was talking about. Verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit, unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, saving that the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with the joy, the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Then to verses 36 to the end. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, and that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. So Paul continued, his nature was to continue on with what God was giving him to do, no matter what was new in the situation, whatever new experiences. You mean the parallels? Or, yeah. Yes. Yes, indeed. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. I had talked with you earlier about Noah. We're now coming to close to the end of this marathon race. Genesis chapter 6. We're going to get there. Thank you. Genesis chapter 6. Starting in verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. The Lord looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. Talks about the fashioning in verse 15. A window in verse 16. He's going to bring the flood in verse 17. Talks about the fowls and etc. Further on down in chapter 7. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house in the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. It goes on explaining more about the details of the coming flood, how Noah was 600 years old in verse 6, the clean beasts in verse 8. Again, Noah's 400 year in verse 11. Verse 13. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem, Ham, Japheth, their wives, into the ark. Verse 14. They and every beast after its kind, the cattle, and etc. Verse 15, they went in unto Noah, unto the ark, the animals. Verse 16, and they went in, male and female, all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. I love Noah, because to me he is a man, you're talking about enduring, Bob. I've heard a number of times that it probably took 100 years to build that ark. Some of you guys are shaking your heads. You've obviously heard that also. Now, I think that's endurance. I don't know if I could have made it after about 2 years. I'm saying, how long is this going to last? I've got to keep building this boat. There's no rain. I'm sitting here on dry land and everybody's laughing at me. For him to have endured 100 years and kept faithful to that word that he had been given. He did what Christ did. He did what Paul did. They had clung to the words that they were given. I want to close this by saying one item about myself. Now, a lot of you know that right now my wife is in India. She's in the process of going through final details for her parents to bring them to Wisconsin and live with us. Now, we're going to know a yes or no answer by the 15th of September. We're not, nothing's written in stone until they have their final interviews. But if they're given their final word, thumbs up on the 15th, they're going to get over here as soon as they can. Now, if this takes place, if her father lives through the journey and gets here, my life is going to change. I'm going to take on a new mission. Not like Paul did or not like Christ did, but my life is going to change because I then am going to, as Ruth said about Naomi, where you go, I go. What you do, I'll go with your people, I'll die. When her father gets here, that is what my life is going to be. Where her father wants to go, I will now go. What he wants to do, I will then do. Where he wants to study in the Word, I will study with him. I may be his eyes because he's legally blind to search the Scriptures with him. That's going to become my life at that point. And as I've told Bob, we've talked at TFT, you may not see me around much anymore because her father does not like to travel. He just is not a traveling person, obviously because of his angina, obviously because of his age of 90. So you may not see me around much anymore. But I'm going to take on a new mission of being with him, to be his understudy. The last time I talked with him on the phone, before Lynn left, I asked him how he was doing. He said, fine, but I'm getting older. I said, Dad, that's fine. You get over here when we'll get older together. He said, yes, junior and senior are going to get older together. He said that because we got the same birthday. He calls me junior to him. So he said, yes, junior and senior are going to be aging together from now on. I wrote a letter. Whenever Lynn goes there, I write a hand note to her father. And this time I wrote a short note to him. I said, Dad, you get over here. We've got a lot of work to do. I'm crying. Can I keep it together, Ronnie? I said to him, I may have to physically carry you from now on in this life, but from now on you've got to spiritually carry me and teach me what you know till the day you die. Thank you.